This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new representative in Michigan's 62nd State House District, which includes the city of Battle Creek, next year. The current representative, Democrat Kate Siegel, cannot run again because of term limits. Three Democrats are running for the seat, including former Calhoun County Democratic Party Chairman Dave Morgan. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Gordon. Appreciate being here.
And we're joined by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Dave Morgan, begin by telling the audience a little bit more about yourself and why you're running for State House.
Well, I'm 50 years old, father of one. I have my little 7-year-old daughter here with me today, Jaden. I'm a United States veteran. I served 11 years in the Air Force Reserves and also with the Michigan Air National Guard in Battle Creek. 11 years there, served in Desert Storm, served on President Bush's security force during Desert Storm, which was quite an honor. I was in Madrid. I've traveled all over the world with the military. I'm also a veteran of Amtrak. I'm currently working there. Been there 21 years. I was a manager for 13 years, locomotive engineer. I've worked in Los Angeles, El Paso, and Battle Creek. And as a manager, I was in charge of operations between Los Angeles and El Paso, Texas. Up here, I was manager between Battle Creek and Chicago. Our family's been from Battle Creek since the 1800s. Morgan Road, many people know Morgan Road. That's named after my great-grandpa, William. That was the center of his farm. One side was a horse farm. One side was the dairy farm. So we've been there quite a while. And anybody that knows Campbell School, that was his home. I was a college baseball coach at Kalamazoo Valley for quite a while, 4 years. Host of A Little Bit Left, A Little Bit Right with Tim Hill on Access Vision in Battle Creek, and former chairman of the Calhoun County Democratic Party.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Dave Morgan.
Let's start with roads. Everyone knows that's the most talked about topic of the day. If we need to get that funding, would you support an increase in gas tax, increase in fees? What would your suggestions be?
Well, the roads is definitely one of the most important issues we're going to be facing in this campaign. Michigan's facing it statewide. Funding's an absolute necessity. Now, how we're going to get there, that's where, you know, we've got to work together between the Democrats and the Republicans. Roads were a nuisance a ways back. Now it's we're almost in an emergency situation. They're dangerous. In the summertime, now we have motorcyclists out there where we didn't before. It's a dangerous situation. So it's one that needs to be addressed immediately by our elected officials. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of failure there in the past. As far as funding goes, I think we need to look at all areas. The funding's there. We have the fuel tax, for instance, but really not much of it goes into roads. A lot of it gets transferred back into the general funds. So instead of raising a gas tax, imposing more tax on the citizens, I would be more apt to increase the amount of money that we're already receiving and putting that back into our roads.
The township roads in Calhoun County, some of which includes the 62nd District, you're well aware,
absolutely,
living in Penfield, that's a $284 million figure. Officials are saying, we're never going to get there. Townships are considering road millages. I'm hearing you're saying the funding's there, but we've got this large amount.
Well, I did see in the paper, one of the headlines on one of my opponents said that the taxpayer, I forget how he actually said it, but the taxpayers are basically going to have to suck it up and pay more money. I don't think that's right. I think the taxpayers are paying enough, and we definitely need to, you know, transfer more of the money back into our roads that we already have. The roads in Penfield are absolutely horrible. All of our county roads are bad. The same elected officials that have got us in this mess are now asking for more money, and I don't think that's the answer. I think the best answer our voters can have is unelect the people that have got here in the first place, not give them more money. So as far as the community roads go, townships need to have more input. Right now they don't have. You've got Tim Hill out in Emmett Township who does an excellent job out there. Very little say in how the money's sent to his township to use on his roads. I think our township supervisors, they're there every day. They're the ones that should have more input on what happens with our roads. They've really been shut out.
Are you saying you don't favor any increase in revenue, no increase in the gas tax, vehicle registration fees, or anything else?
No, I wouldn't. I think the funding's there. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't change, but I'm saying as far as I look at everything, you look at the small percentage of the money that actually goes back into the roads. I mean, if we raise one thing, gas tax is very, you never know what you're going to have. You know, it's not a sustainable, accountable revenue that you know what you're going to have coming in every year.
Because people may drive less. There may be cars that come along that use less gas or no gas at all. Is that what you're getting at?
Absolutely. Okay. So with that being the case, we need a sustainable amount of money coming back in, but we need a higher percentage to go back into the roads.
But a lot of that money now that comes from gas tax will go into the general fund.
Right.
That ends up going, okay, well, what do you do about that money that's in the general fund? Are there things you're going to spend less on then? Because, well, what would they be? What are you going to spend less on to spend it on roads?
Well, we would. You have to take, there's a big pie. I mean, we can't sit here today and solve every problem we have. But one of the biggest issues we have are the roads. And I think that's the case in our townships in Michigan, everywhere throughout the state. So with that being one of the biggest issues we're facing, we definitely need to take as much funding as we possibly can, transfer it into the roads. Most people think their fuel tax does go to the roads. I mean, that's what we're being told by a lot of our elected officials. That's simply not the case. It's a percentage of that.
Okay. But I guess I'm looking for priorities. You know, what becomes less of a priority if roads becomes more of a priority? Because that's what you're talking about, is taking money that otherwise would go into the general fund and putting it to roads. So what's not the priority?
Well, federally, I mean, it goes all the way to the top to the federal government as far as funding for our roads in the state. So military spending, you know, I would look, and I'm a veteran. You know, we're in 130 countries. If we took some money out of our military, transferred it down into local, I think we need to rebuild Michigan before we rebuild Afghanistan.
Okay, but you're not going to have much of a say in that if you're elected
not
to the
at
state
all.
Legislature.
I'm just saying that's the top of the...
Okay, but at the state legislature level, I mean, I guess I'm looking for something from you that tells me what loses out if road funding is going to get more.
Well, without having the entire budget with me. It's pretty hard to say. I mean, I can't go through education. Absolutely not. Education's vital. So we need to fully fund education. But there's other areas. You know, we have a lot of special interests, a lot of special interest groups that dictate what goes on in Lansing. You know, different priorities. Roads are a priority. Education's a priority.
Jennifer?
Opponents in this race, two of which are on the Calhoun County Board, have really praised the efforts of the road department. It's a product of after dissolving the road commission, and they contend after the potholes get worse that, hey, we had a bad winter. These roads didn't get bad overnight. It's not going to get improved overnight. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
No, not at all. The same people are saying the roads didn't get bad overnight. Well, they didn't arrive overnight either. We have some of our elected officials at the county that have been there for 8 years, and they haven't had any solutions. The road commission wasn't the problem. The grand plan that our road commissioner, our county commissioners had prior to their previous election, we found out really was non-existent. So the only way we're going to get to where we want to be with better roads, certainly both parties working together. I mean, take the R's and the D's out. We need to work together. The funding issues, of course. And, you know, it's a priority. I mean, it's very dangerous out in Calhoun County. You've driven East Avenue North. Well, we could name every road, but they're all bad. Your article was very good in, you know, showing the variations of the roads in all the townships.
I know we could get lost in the weeds here on roads, but the partnership between Calhoun and Jackson County, do you think that that is part of the problem, or do you think that shouldn't have been done?
I don't think it's been the solution. I don't see any improvements so far, but I do see where government agencies should work together, you know, for the betterment of the people, for the community.
Would you have supported an increase in the minimum wage, which was approved by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Snyder?
I think it's a good start. It's absolutely a good start. So I would say yes. I would go there. I think we should do more.
Do you think the ballot proposal would have been better? That would have taken it to 10-10 instead of 9-25?
Yeah, I think it would have been better, but they came to an agreement beforehand, and that was probably a political move by Governor Snyder, but that's fine. It's a first step and a step of many.
If you had been in the legislature, would you have voted for what was on the table, even though that probably precludes the ballot proposal from getting before voters.
Well, it precludes it right now. But yes, I would have voted to move it forward. Yeah.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Dave Morgan. He's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for State House in Michigan's 62nd District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is here as well. Jennifer.
Staying on minimum wage, some say there shouldn't be a minimum wage. It should be dictated by the marketplace. Your opponent yesterday, Art Kale, said, I used to work, run a manufacturing plant. We paid our entry-level positions close to minimum wage, found we couldn't hire anyone, and raised it. And he pointed that as an example of how the marketplace should dictate it.
No, I think there absolutely should be a minimum wage. I don't think that's a question. We need livable wages. People in our community spend their money in the community. So with that being the case, minimum wage, absolutely. We, you know, the minimum wage, the what we just did was great. I mean, it's good for Michigan. We can't penalize small businesses, so we need to try to help them out as much as possible, too. It's kind of two dynamics. So you have small businesses that are really struggling to survive. You have families struggling to survive, and you've got corporations that seem to get all the big breaks. And that's because they have the most money to buy off the most politicians and to hire the most lobbyists. Small businesses aren't really represented in either party. Republicans have left them out. Democrats have left them out. And that's really a shame. Every family's a small business in their own way and struggling to survive. And this time in our lives, it's the worst time I've ever seen for families trying to get by. Everything's going up. Gas, I remember when it was 89 cents a gallon. And I'm not that old. You know, now it's over $4. It's a tough time for everybody. But as far as the minimum wage, I don't see how you can fight against a minimum standard of living for people.
So how do we get to help those small businesses?
Oh, the small businesses? Well, your tax incentives, we've done that. I think spending local money, local preference, for instance, police cars, fire trucks, anything we buy locally, we help our local businesses buy within our community.
Some small business owners will say, however, they're the ones that usually end up paying minimum wage. So when that goes up, it does squeeze small businesses a little bit harder. If you're going to raise the minimum wage, do you have to accept that small businesses are going to be hurt by it? Or is there a way to also help them in addition to raising the minimum wage?
And that's exactly what I'm getting at. We need to supplement, hopefully supplement, with money saved in other areas by the minimum wage increasing, say at Walmart, where a lot of their employees receive federal assistance while they're still working for Walmart or other companies. So if we could help and supplement some of the cost to raise minimum wage, I think it's a win-win situation. It wouldn't penalize small businesses, and it would help the families get by.
Do you supplement it by the state directly paying small businesses?
I would think that's an option. I mean, we'd have to look at it, but if we're going to spend money one way or the other, whether it's on assistance to families or supplementing small businesses to hire people to work at a higher wage, a livable wage, I think that's the way to go.
Do you think the state should be doing any more to encourage consolidation or mergers of local government units, either, you know, sharing services or full-blown mergers? It was proposed last year in Saugatuck and Douglas. Should the state be doing anything to encourage that or facilitate it?
I think all options are open. We need to look at every possibility. School districts, for one, we have superintendents at every school. You know, I lived out in Arizona for a while where you have one superintendent for multiple schools. That's an area. There's a lot of areas that we could cut back on. Busing of students, food services. We provide government food services in our jails, in our schools, and all areas. Maybe a commissary, something to that sort that would, you know, supplement every area.
Jennifer?
Workforce development has been pushed at the state level and by area economic development organizations as something that needs to be a regional strategy. Do you think that's the best way to boost our attractiveness to prospective employers, or should there be more authority through these local economic development organizations like Battle Creek Unlimited or Southwest Michigan First to kind of handle those efforts on their own?
Well, we have a lot of organizations that are doing a wonderful job to bring jobs to Michigan and create opportunities. I think we need to open up all the doors. You've got tax incentives. You've got, we need good union jobs. We need good non-union jobs. And what we've seen is a party system that's created, you know, they're so polarized that they won't cross over. So Republicans are anti-union jobs. Democrats are very pro-union jobs. What we need is both. And we need to do whatever we can to promote Michigan. We have the Pure Michigan campaign, of course. Unfortunately, Pure Michigan goes down pretty bad when you cross the border and you hit a pothole. So there's a lot of areas in Michigan we need to improve, but we need to bring jobs here any way we can.
What about training workers? There's a lot of employers out there who will say they cannot find workers with the right skills that they need, especially high tech and manufacturing, those sort of things. What would be your idea for trying to address that?
Well, we have a wonderful university system here, Western Michigan being one. I work for Amtrak. We hire a lot of people, actually, with some with high school degrees, some with college degrees. We can invest in a lot of different areas, the vocational schools. We have a great center in Battle Creek. There's a lot of opportunities out there. We need to invest as much as we possibly can to bring jobs to Michigan to help train people. But I think the training's there for our employers. I haven't heard this, what you're saying.
You haven't heard employers say that
No, not the ones I've talked to. I mean, Kellogg certainly hasn't had a problem. Post hasn't had a problem. In Battle Creek, we have a highly trained workforce.
Do you support the plan to phase out the personal property tax, which will be on the August ballot?
I think that's a good idea.
Why is it a good idea?
Well, and I don't think you should purchase a small business would have to go in and purchase equipment. You continually pay over and over and over. So I think eliminating that is very good for small businesses.
Are you confident that local governments are going to come out of this okay if it's phased out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jennifer?
The so-called pension tax, eliminating the income tax exemption on retiree pensions. I'm sure you've heard it. Democrats have said this campaign season they're vowing to repeal it. Is that a position you share?
I think it was a terrible move. I think, if anything, worst case scenario, the people already affected should have been grandfathered in because they were counting on that. They're counting on their pensions for survival. And to come in and change the game in the middle of their retirement isn't right. So if taxing pensions is the way to go, we should have definitely grandfathered the people in at that point prior to that. And that they wouldn't have been affected. Other people could have planned ahead for their future.
If you had the chance to scrap the state's current tax system and come up with something new, what would Dave Morgan's Michigan tax system look like?
Well, the sales tax, I think, is a big one. I've thought this back going into college that we should have a tax that promotes businesses to come here. So what I would promote is a zero sales tax on any product that's manufactured or produced in Michigan. You offset that by raising the state sales tax to offset the loss of revenue there. So it would be neutral by raising it for products manufactured outside of Michigan. By doing that, you put companies in a position where they really need to bring jobs to Michigan. They need to bring their companies to Michigan in order to compete. So if you had Pepsi outside of Michigan and you were paying 10% tax to buy a product from Pepsi, but Coca-Cola moved here and had a plant here and you're paying zero there, it would force companies to come here or give them a real incentive to bring jobs to Michigan.
Soda pop or other sort of consumables may be a little easier, but when you get into something like automobiles, there's parts in there from that could be from all over the country. So how do you determine what is truly a Michigan product from what is a non-Michigan product with something like that?
Well, we would get into that. But most of the parts, we have a lot of parts created in Battle Creek out in the fort, too. And so there are, and in Flint. So there are opportunities where those companies, too, come in. It could be a percentage. Maybe if the car is 90%, you know, there's ways to do it. But the whole idea is to create a system that brings jobs to Michigan.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Dave Morgan. He's a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. He's a former chairman of the Calhoun County Democratic Party. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is here as well. Jennifer?
I want to ask you about some social issues. Where do you stand on medical marijuana?
to me, it's a non-issue. I was a former police officer. It's pretty much a victimless crime. Worldwide, it's pretty much accepted. Here, it's become a political battle because what one party's for, the other party's automatically against. I really think it's a non-issue. I think it's wonderful if it's able to be used for medical purposes. It's victimless. I mean, so I think it's a waste of a lot of revenue to go, you know, to spend on that issue.
How about recreational use?
I have never smoked in my life. I've never had a puff of a cigarette or anything, but I don't have a problem with it.
Do you think it should be legalized?
Absolutely. I think it's a waste of government resources to do anything other than that.
So as a baby step, I would take that you'd be for decriminalization.
Absolutely.
Do you think there need to be some additional regulations, you know, laws on the books about driving under the influence and, you know, the sort of things we have for alcohol some age restrictions,
yes.
Those sort of things?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Do you support amending the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity?
Yes, I would.
Explain why, please.
I just think everybody has the right, you know. I'm a landlord in Battle Creek. I invest in properties throughout. Everybody has the right to live in one of my houses or apartments. I think that's a non-issue, too. We worry so much about what other people are doing instead of just respecting, you know, maybe people have different beliefs. I mean, I have different beliefs. None of us three don't agree on every issue. But if there's a respect, we can all get along. I think we worry too much about what other people are doing. I think they definitely should be protected. Everybody should be protected. It's a basic right.
How do you deal with the landowner who says, hey, my religious beliefs do not match, you know, the LGBT community, and I don't think because of my religious beliefs that I should be required to be able to rent my properties to those? I mean, how do we deal with that?
Well, at that point, they really shouldn't be a landlord, I don't think. But it's not their choice. It's not my choice to say I don't want somebody that's a minority. I don't want somebody who happens to be gay. That's not the case. I mean, people are humans. And for the most part, 99%, we think the same ways. And there's so much hatred in the world right now. And I think we need to get by that. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and start respecting people again. And it's just a non-issue. It's an issue that's been politically motivated by both sides, and it shouldn't be there. We're all the same, and we just need to start respecting each other.
So you don't see a threat on anyone's religious freedom or religious rights with that?
No, it's not. It shouldn't even come up.
Do you support legalizing same-sex marriage?
That's a tough one. You have traditional values that people say, you know, talk about. Then you have, and you see in Kalamazoo, you've got a great race here going on. But I would have to look at more, but I would say probably yes, I would support it.
You've mentioned campaign contributions, corruption, that sort of stuff a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to win a seat in the state legislature, are there specific reforms that you would propose to attempt to address that?
We absolutely positively have to get campaign financing under control. It's amazing to me that a judicial system, for instance, if you're a judge, you're limited to donating $100 to any political campaign, and that's for integrity purposes, because you're overseeing the laws as set by the state of Michigan, and for integrity purposes, you can't have money in the game. But as a state representative or state senator or governor, you can take basically unlimited amounts of money from these special interest groups, and it's unbelievable to me. You're there to represent people, not special interests. You represent people, not corporations, not unions, not anybody, not even the party system. Once you're elected, I'm the former Democratic Party chair, but if I'm elected, I don't represent the Democrats. I represent the people I'm elected to serve, and that's the way it should be. And the money in politics right now is so out of control in Michigan, it's unbelievable. And it leads to corruption, and we see it every day in the papers.
So how do you address it, given that there was a Supreme Court decision a few years ago, which we have all come to know as Citizens United, which changed the game? There's been a couple more since at the national level, Supreme Court decisions, that is. What do you do specifically at the state level in terms of legislation that addresses the issue of money in politics?
Well, we can't give up. In Michigan, the people themselves have got to stand up and make a stance. You know, you've got to start unelecting people that are accepting these contributions. It's the voters that are ultimately in charge, not your state rep, not your congressman, not your senator. The people have to stand up and make their, you know, point heard. But we need to enact strict laws in Michigan that limit campaign contributions. And if you're, for instance, if I take money, there should be laws. If I take money from, I work for Amtrak, from the railroad industry, I shouldn't vote on anything that affects those companies. There should be, as far as when you become, when you term out and leave, there should be limits on becoming lobbyists. You shouldn't be able to vote on a bill the day before you leave that gives huge rewards to these corporations, and then the next day you're employed by them. It's... Were you going to say something? You perked up there for a minute.
Well, I wanted to ask you, are you going to put strict limits in a way that's going to work with the Citizens United decision? Or does this come back to the Supreme Court and your strict limits get struck down?
Yeah, it's probably going to have to go back to the Supreme Court. There have to be limits. I don't know if Michigan can actually do it now with the federal court stepping in, but states have tried. And you need to control the campaign financing. I mean, to me, when you're walking in to vote on a bill, and 10 minutes ago you could have taken a check from this very same corporation, a huge check from this very same corporation or union that directly affects, you're going to vote on a bill that directly affects them, how that is not seen or is seen as unethical is beyond me.
Jennifer?
I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and how there's, you know, that constant fighting and what becomes a political battle. It's easier said than done to fix that. How do you plan on doing that?
Well, I think, you know, you see Tim and I on our TV show. You can work together. I think we need more people in politics. I think more veterans. More people that actually want to be there to serve the people instead of serve their party. And, I mean, for me to talk about the party system now, I should be using the former chairman as an advantage. But to be honest, I'm not running to represent the Democratic Party. I'm running because I think I can do a good job for the people. And when I'm elected, I'll serve the Republican, somebody that calls themselves a Republican, just as much as I'll serve person that calls themselves a Democrat. We need to get the D's and R's out of here and start working for the community.
A couple times during this interview, you've said something along the lines of, you know, our leaders who have been there have not produced or they haven't found the solution. Of course, what they might answer is that they have been in the arena, shall we say, on the Calhoun County Board of Commissioners or on the Battle Creek City Commission. You don't hold elected office. Is it a little easier to comment from the peanut gallery than to actually be there trying to do the job?
Well, I have been the former chairman of the Calhoun County Democratic Party.
But that's not an elected position.
No, but I deal with all aspects of the party system, so I get to see the inside. But outside of that, there's a lot of people in our community that can run for office. I mean, we've got a lot of qualified people in our community that could be sitting here today. And, you know, could be running for state representative or any position. We just need to get qualified people to run. We need to get the party system kind of back to where it should be outside of politics. As far as our elected people that have been there for so long, we have people on, say, the Calhoun County commissioners, you know, 8 to 10 years. We have city commissioners that have been there for a long time. And now their answers are, well, the roads didn't get here overnight. Well, they didn't get here overnight either. Politicians have to be held accountable. If I'm honored to be elected as the state representative and things aren't better in 2 years, the voters should vote me out. The voters need to take a stance and start holding our elected officials accountable, because I haven't heard all the interviews here, but I'm sure they all had answers now because the elections are coming up. Now we're seeing money come out of Lansing for the roads. All of a sudden, right before the election. But
Two years ago? They didn't reach an agreement before the summer break, so we're not seeing that much money come out of Lansing.
But where have these people been? I mean, if you've been in office for 8 to 10 years, or even 2 to 4 years, and with no solutions, everything's worse. The roads are worse now than they were 2 years ago or 4 years ago. Our economies were, you know, there's not a lot to show. And then to come out and say, well, now I want to be promoted. Now I want to be a state rep. I don't see it. You know, I think the voters have to hold them accountable and hold me accountable, too.
Okay, one last thing here before we wrap up. Just on something you said there in that last answer about having the party system out of politics. Aren't the political parties, by their very nature, political? So aren't they going to be involved in
politics?
What's
happened? There's been a change. You've got good old boy clubs now. You've got a small amount of people controlling both sides. I'm talking local parties. We need the people to get engaged. Don't strictly go vote for me because I'm a Democrat. Vote for me because you think I'm the best candidate, and do that with everybody else. The party system's not our answer. You know, people are.
Dave Morgan, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dave Morgan is running for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. He is the former chairman of Calhoun County's Democratic Party. And we want to thank Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.